Hello and thank you for your interest in my poster. My name is Daria Lucas. I'm a fourth year graduate student in the Johns Hopkins NIH Graduate Partnerships Program, working at the NIDCD and Katie Kent's group within the section on sensory cell development and function. Our lab studies sensory hair cells that in humans are found in the inner ear and the cochlea. Hair cells convert sound into neuronal signals that can be interpreted by the brain. These cells are critically important to our sense of hearing. Hair cells can be damaged and lost after exposure to ototoxins and are not capable of regenerating once lost, and so hearing loss is irreversible. The goal of my project is to understand what makes these cells susceptible to ototoxins. I'm specifically working with the aminoglycoside neomycin because it is known to be a very powerful antibiotic. Its use, however, is severely restricted because it destroys hair cells, and so we are seeking to understand how to protect hair cells from ototoxic drugs like neomycin in order to be able to take full advantage of these life-saving treatments and also prevent hearing loss. We are using zebrafish larvae to answer these questions. Zebrafish is a great model for the study of ototoxicity. The external location of hair cell-containing clusters called neuromasts, pictured on my fish in the left panel as green dots along the body of the fish, each of which contains about 15 to 20 hair cells, allows me to visualize individual hair cells in an in vivo and in toto context before and after neomycin treatment. In contrast, the cochlea must be dissected out and cultured in order to gain access to live hair cells in rodents. Furthermore, larvae are transparent and easy to immobilize for imaging. Please visit our Jove article cited here next to the QR code to learn more about this protocol. Zebrafish are also genetically tractable, and many of the same molecules that cause deafness in humans also cause deafness in fish. And so the accessibility of zebrafish hair cells, as well as the fact that they are functionally and morphologically similar to human hair cells, makes it possible to identify specific mutations or pharmacological treatments that can protect hair cells. We are particularly interested in protecting hair cells from metabolic stress because they receive near constant input from the environment and they are constantly working to convert sound into an electrical signal. This process is extremely energy demanding and requires a steady supply of ATP production from mitochondria. Previous work has shown that aging and persistent metabolic activity may sensitize hair cells to ototoxins because busy mitochondria produce a lot of reactive oxygen species, which damage everything from lipids to DNA to proteins, and over time these toxins can do substantial damage to cells that historically have experienced a significant amount of metabolic stress. For my study, I've been investigating what activity-dependent processes could lead to this metabolic stress. Hair cell activity requires several different processes, a few of which are diagrammed at the bottom of the left panel. Deflection of the mechanosensory bundle, the staircase-like structure at the top of the hair cell, causes an influx of cations through mechanotransduction channels that depolarizes the cell. And this depolarization triggers the opening of voltage-gated calcium channels at the hair cell synapse. This wave of calcium then triggers the exocytosis of glutamate-containing vesicles onto the afferent neuron, which conveys the message to the brain. Previous work in the field has uncovered that hair cell mechanotransduction can stimulate mitochondria, and this correlates with neomycin susceptibility. Please see the 2018 eLife paper by Sarah Pickett for more information. But the contribution of downstream synaptic transmission to neomycin susceptibility has not been fully explored, and that is the focus of my project. My project is specifically looking at two different mutant lines, CAV1.3 calcium channel mutants and otoferlin mutants, for the following reasons. Calcium influx through basal CAV1.3 calcium channels has been shown to trigger mitochondrial calcium uptake, which in turn is known to stimulate mitochondrial ATP production and could contribute to metabolic stress. We are also interested in the otoferlin calcium sensor, which couples basal presynaptic calcium influx with exocytosis. The process of making synaptic vesicles, filling them with neurotransmitter and so forth is energy demanding and could also contribute to metabolic stress. Now, I want to emphasize that our CAV1.3 mutants lack both calcium influx and downstream vesicle exocytosis, while the otoferlin mutants have normal calcium currents. They lack only exocytosis. And so, we were curious to see if removing one or both of these components of activity could protect hair cells. We hypothesized that presynaptic activity can augment hair cell neomycin susceptibility. Can blocking activity at one or both of these levels reduce metabolic stress enough to have a protective effect? So moving into my middle panel, into my results, we first treated CAV1.3 and otoferlin mutants with 100 micromolar neomycin to test whether or not they would experience less cell death in response to the neomycin. And you can see example images of neuromasts after a 30-minute treatment. The first is from a wild-type fish, where on average about 40% of hair cells survive the 100 micromolar dose. In contrast, the CAV1.3 and otoferlin mutant neuromasts next to it look basically untouched, and the quantification for these mutants is below. You can see significantly augmented survival in both mutant lines, and this suggests that chronic loss of presynaptic activity can have a protective effect on hair cells. Our CAV1.3 mutant results indicate that eliminating either presynaptic calcium influx or exocytosis, or both of these processes, could offer protection, presumably from metabolic stress. The protection we saw in the otoferlin mutants is really, really interesting. So the idea that exocytosis alone can be metabolically taxing for hair cells is actually surprising, and it has not been previously investigated, and so we're really excited to continue studying these mutants and this process in more detail. Okay, so now that we've established that eliminating presynaptic activity at the level of basal calcium channels and exocytosis is protective, we wanted to make sure that impairing basal presynaptic activity was not also impairing neomycin entry. The main pathway of neomycin entry in the hair cells is through mechanotransduction channels at the hair cell apex, and so these are found at that staircase-like structure I was talking about. You can see it at the top of the hair cell and the bottom of the left panel. So if less neomycin is entering hair cells along with those cations, this would explain why we see protection in our mutants. Okay, so the test, whether neomycin entry and mechanotransduction is affected, I applied neomycin conjugated to Texas Red to larvae and quantified the amount of uptake in neuromasts after a 10-minute exposure. I found that compared to controls, both mutants exhibited similar levels of neomycin uptake. This tells us that mechanotransduction channels along with neomycin uptake appear to be unaltered in these mutants. So next, we wanted to test whether reducing presynaptic activity actually does reduce hair cell metabolic stress. And so to examine metabolic stress, I applied a fluorescent reactive oxygen species indicator called CellRox Orange. I observed reduced CellRox Orange baseline fluorescence in the hair cells of calcium channel mutants compared to controls. Currently, I'm still working on quantifying these measurements in the otoferlin mutants, though my preliminary data does suggest that they also appear to exhibit reduced baseline fluorescence. And so these measurements indicate that these mutants have less ROS buildup and they may be experiencing less metabolic stress due to a reduced metabolic load. And actually, recent work in neurons has found that the process of endocytosis that is closely tied to and follows the exocytosis of synaptic vesicles is in and of itself highly energy demanding and a huge ATP sink. And so metabolic stress at the level of exocytosis could very well contribute to hair cell neomycin susceptibility. In conclusion, I believe my work sheds light not just on ototoxicity, but also on the process of hearing loss due to aging, known as presbycusis. I think there is a new unexplored mechanism related to presynaptic activity acting the weak in hair cells over time. Identifying it, along with targeted strategies to mitigate its effects, could protect hair cells from a wide range of ototoxins, not just neomycin. So if you have any questions, comments, or would like to know more about my work, please email me or find me on the TAGC Slack. My email is at the top of the poster. Thank you.